Yoda, Falco in the ring, raising up the future, got the belts, got the sweat, endless life in a suplex, future stars, big dreams, breaking all the seams, Las Vegas stage where the spotlight beams, arena lights flash bright, warriors of the night, mat slams, crowd roars, showdown of the might, from the rookies to the pros, grinding day and night, every step, every fight, honing skills tight,
future stars, destined for the fame, in the ring, they'll carve their name, blood, sweat, tears, the unending game, Yoda Falco's legacy, they proudly claim. Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, it was a pretty big day for you on the 12th as you welcomed your newest Wall of Famer, Jacob Austin Young, and paid in full went off with a couple surprises.
Yeah, you know, as we said, you know, and the big thing has been the turnout of the audience. Yeah. You know, again, you know, when we get the pre-sales and where we're at, we're like, okay, AAA's running, you know, hopefully we do okay. And then the walk-up ends up being better than we expect. And between Jaden Cole and Dave Mazzani selling tickets, we have a full set of bleachers. The front row's pretty well, you know, stocked, and we end up putting on another excellent show. You know, we had debuts, we had surprises. Creatively, I kind of feel like I'm on a high right now. I got a lot of things going that seem to be working. And, you know, you're taking shots. And a guy like Brian Cage talks about Jimmy House. And then Jimmy House is the guy that works PCW in Arizona. And guys like Remy and Class and Reno, they're giving him the stamp of approval. And, oh, this guy's really good, easy to deal with. And you bring him in, he wrestles Luke Curtis, and you know, you could see, you know, he's had less than 15 matches, Jimmy House. And, right, you know, he's a little rough around the edges, you know, maybe in that he's a little bit green because, you know, he comes from the Rhodes Academy. So, you know, he's got a good pedigree of training. And right, the crowd quickly responded to him. And to come in as a babyface on a show with a lot of talent, very established card of people, that right, the crowd is getting behind you within 3 or 4 minutes means you got something going that is obviously he's in great shape. He looks good. The promo was pretty good. You know, he worked good, and the crowd got into him. So, you know, again, it's another here's a shot we're taking. You know, hopefully he can slide through the radar, the crowd. And then, you know, I made the post afterwards about, hey, what, you know, who have you been seeing that you like? And, you know, I posted about the show, you know, and a few people were like, hey, that Jimmy House is a keeper. And that's not easy to do when you come in and you lose your first match.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it goes to show, too, you know, one of the things that we're starting to see is that the game is stepping up in terms of the polished look, the polished feel, you know, of people you're seeing in the ring, right? You know, look at, you know, Trish and look at Layla, right? They go in the ring, they look like professionals. You're starting to see everyone who's coming in now, the game, the bar is raising because they might have been exposed on TV. They might have been trained here or there. Whatever it's been these outsiders coming in that are making, you know, the regular crew have to step in their game because now it's really one of the most competitive. It might be the most competitive roster you've ever had, to be honest.
Oh, that there's no doubt. You know, the women used to be two or three deep. Yeah. You know, now we're talking six or seven. And then you got that the younger talent that, you know, is on the verge of breaking through, the Black Swans, who haven't had tons of matches either. You could see the crowd being behind her. You know, we were fortunate enough to build Gypsy up to that mix, and it was Gypsy and Maz, Zamaya and Brittany. So, you know, the core four, as I'd like to say. But now all of a sudden, Layla Gray is a regular. Trisha Dora is available. Black Swan, you know. So now we're seven strong, and now we're talking. And then you got the Taylor Yorks and the Fallon Grays and the Alice Blairs, who's injured, you know, and the Simones that are now available to us, and a Milo. You know, we're 10, 12 deep. On where we want to go there, you know, we're ready, you know, we're moving forward, you know. Black Swan a little banged up. She was going to be in a four-way on the 27th, and it was, you know, here you go. Here's another match that's set. We put out matches for the next show, but it was going to be Maserati, Zamaya, Taylor York, and Black Swan. Black Swan can't make it, dealing with some things, and Gypsy Max steps in.
Yep.
So, Fatal 4-Way, you know, that's going to go a long way towards seeing, you know, championship matches down the line. And obviously, Gypsy had her match, and she was our champ for a long time. So, she's in line. Maz has never gotten the title rematch. Right. She never lost the belt. She was hurt. So, it's just like, you know, everything from the minute the show started, you know, Jacob Austin Young comes out, and you can see him fighting back the tears. It was great, you know, and Sharp, you know, he's really stepped up. And he's always been a guy that quietly behind the scenes is like that leader that doesn't, you know, people see the Ices and the Hammerstones and they're very vocal and stuff like that. But Greg, he's that guy that, man, like that silent assassin, like, you know.
Yeah.
I reckon Greg kind of a little similar to me, where, you know, people may think that I can get crazy and stuff, but I'm pretty low keel until I reach a certain point, and then I can go fucking nuts. You know what I mean? And Greg's that guy. He's one of the most patient people. But, man, if you get it too far, you know, he's going to go off. Yeah. And you know... So Greg is another tremendous asset, you know, just being around. It's like he's like that ultimate pinch hitter. Oh, Kenny's not here today. And Greg's basically the assistant when Kenny is there. But you can't really find someone that much better than him to run the class to begin with. You know what I mean? So it's like, hey, he shows up on Monday. Bateman's not there. Bateman's there. Now Chris Bay's back. So, you know, Greg, you know, he's like that MVP under the radar guy, you know, and him and Jake and Bateman with Jay Vidal. I really enjoyed the dynamic of, you know, Jay Vidal might not enjoy the dynamic of being the servant, but I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah.
So the stage was set from the minute we did that. And then the next match, you know, we kind of, you know, quickly went into Young Money and the Mariachis.
Right.
And, you know, the young, you know, it's funny that the Mariachis are now kind of the vets in that match.
Right.
But Young Money, I'll tell you what, you know, they're a team, maybe not right now, but, you know, give them a year or so, they could be tag team champions, and it wouldn't shock me.
I agree.
So our tag team division is insane.
You know? Well, it just got a little more insane after this match.
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting dynamic, you know, with the two heel teams trying to out-dirty each other. So, but again, there was something for everybody. And then you also had, you know, the Suavecitos in the mix with Lights, Camera, Faction. And, you know, you could see their progression so much that one of the most hated tag teams that were ever wrestled in the FSW arena were getting cheers from people.
Yeah.
Because they have become that good.
Yep. And they know, you know, and that's the thing. What is impressive is that they both took that idea of learning how to become a team. And you can see that balance beautifully now. Like, they know the moments, they know the beats, they know the progressions, they know what they should be doing instead of just going out there and being good. Now they're fucking great. They are incredible storytellers. And man, you talk about maturity. Look at them 3 years ago. Look at them 5 years ago.
And yeah, it's like I said, I actually have respectful grown-up conversations with Danny Rose now. Like, I would have never thought that would happen. It's kind of like Bret the Threat, you know? Yeah. When they first start, you know, they have the mindset of they know it all and nobody's going to tell them fucking shit. And it's like, well, yeah, I am going to tell you shit. And if you ain't going to like it, you know, there's a reason why the Suavecitos really hadn't been around for a while. It's like the heat wasn't enough to keep them away, but it wasn't enough for me to, like, figure out I'm going to go so much out of my way to get them on a show.
Right.
We try, you know, and they sporadically and recently, obviously, they came back. But it was never nothing malicious where it's like, fuck these motherfuckers, I ain't ever going to use them again. It was kind of like, well, you know, they're not available, not a big deal. And then as we talk about how the tag team division, well, it's official. The Unguided are now back full time and they're putting all their eggs in their basket.
Yeah, exactly. Holy shit.
So it's like Transcendence, Pretty City, Suavecitos, Mariachis, Unguided, Regulators still in the background. The Unguided will be back for a match on October 18th. So I'm working feverishly to get the Regulators back, and I think that'll be a great match back for both teams.
Yeah, it just depends on what bad luck happens to...
Yeah. You know, to EJ Sparks or their car.
Right. Well, if I'm Thugnificent, I'm like, I'm worried because he's the one who hasn't had it yet. What's going to happen?
Yeah, you know, he's made a couple singles matches, you know. Thugnificent worked Shogun way back, and he worked more recently in a match because he wants to be out here, you know. And again, Thugnificent, along with Damian Desire, are two guys that Jacob Austin Young gave the stamp of approval and messaged me directly to say, hey, these are guys. And obviously it worked. And it was a great moment for Jake, man, you know. And it's funny because, you have memories and you remember everything. I remember pretty much everything and the things that happened in the past and stuff like that. And it's like, going back, because Fal made the nice video for, which Fal's one of, you know, the Arizona photographers, and that's his buddy, and put together a little video. But I had to go look at stuff, and seeing Jacob Austin Young, man, when he was 19 or 20, it's like, wow, you don't realize back then how young he looked.
Right.
Compared. And Remy made a comment about our Arizona ace, Kevin Demery, and I'm like, yeah, he's not in the same league as Jake. But when you look at them, it's like little Kevin can dress up as Jacob Austin Young or a young Damian Drake.
Yeah, right.
For the Halloween gimmick battle royal. And it's believable.
Right.
So it was a great moment. The card was stacked, yet there still was a lot of people that weren't on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, which is, you know, a phenomenal point because, again, that just, you know, first off, it allows people, if they can, you know, have other commitments, it's okay. They can take them as long as, you know, it's run by you, which I think that's another thing that, you know, some of the guys are learning, right, especially some of the younger guys, is that you can go away like the Suavecitos or Bret the Threat and come back, be a little bit more polished, understand a little bit more, because you got away from the comfort zone. And I think that sometimes when you stay in the comfort zone, you might think that you're worth more, and then you got to go learn your own value and then come back with it now at a different level. And I think that, you know, it's just going to raise again the competition level of, you know, hey, I want to be on a show. Well, now it's not you're just filling spots. Now it's like you got to be as good as the next guy. And
yeah, there's a lot of talent that's like, hey, I'm available. And it's like, you know what? There's, you know, it's a tight squeeze. You know, this is the first time that I'm looking at a piece of paper, the piece of paper right here. It's got three shows. It's got the 27th, it's got the 18th, and it's got the Halloween show, the 30th. And it's mixing and matching and putting things in. And it's like, okay, he's available then. You know, I was looking to do the Unguided versus Young Money, for example, on October 18th, but the Young Money's not available. So now right. It's like, okay, let me hit up the regulators. I want to see this match. You know, that's a great match, man. That's a big match for both teams. It ain't bringing both teams back and giving them, you know, giving them the cakewalk. It's like this is going to show where you guys are at. And it's like for the 27th, you know, on this show, Ice Williams, released by WWE for the ID program. He could have sat and sulked and took in a couple of months off and said, yeah, I'll come back for the Rumble or whatever. It was like, hey, I got an idea, blah, 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 blah. He ends up doing an open challenge, and it's against Demir Morningstar. And right. I guess the factions kind of split down the middle because the faction, Fresco and Watson, they're big fans of Demir Morningstar. They travel together to Arizona. They work the AWF shows together. So they've helped smarten up Demir Morningstar, who I used to call one of the dumbest kids that we had, you know, and just do stupid things. So he's gotten these vets that have really found, you know, gotten a liking to him. And right now the pitch, Fresco and Watson are trying to add a member to the faction in Demir Morningstar. And after the match, Ice Williams wasn't convinced. But now on the 27th, Braxton is going to wrestle Demir Morningstar.
Okay.
But you got Fresco and Watson pitching for Demir. Like, hey, you know, he did his job. You know, he's a guy. I think he'd be a good asset. Young kid. Got a lot of upside. Blah, 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 blah. So it seems like there's a little inner turmoil in the faction on whether or not Demir Morningstar. So we got that storyline playing out. Jordan Oasis, who I didn't use very much during his ID program, he's, you know, wanting to be a part of it. Again, it's making things work. And it's like, because of the ID thing, he was getting a decent amount of bookings. And it was like, hey, I'm available for the casino show, Joe. And it's like, bro, I appreciate that, but you know, that show's a storyline type show. You know, you weren't available at the school shows to kind of set things up. So he's going to be on the card on the 27th. So getting an opponent for him. The No Limits champion, Dante King. Again, we were looking to set up Dante and Gypsy against Layla Gray and Luke Curtis, who got involved. But right now, because of scheduling, that match is not possible at this show. Gypsy's going to be in the four-way now women's match. And Dante King will defend the No Limits title. So we're already looking at where we're going with that. So, you know, sky's the limit. The 27th, the Nevada State title's on the line. We got San Lu. And you got Shogun in his corner. And I was just informed Duke Lawrence is going solo. MK will not be there because of his commitments to Utah football. For people who don't know, that he's the commentator on the radio for the Utah college football team.
Yep.
So he's not going to be there. So I think that sways the advantage a little bit to San Lu. and Shogun there, because now if any members of the MK Army decide to act up, Zamaya is going to be there and Kevin Koa is going to be there. So you know that there's a good chance MK is going to give them some orders to make sure that Nevada State Championship stays home.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the coolest thing is that when you lose a piece like that and you have a stable, you get to play with the stable members. And I think that's, you know, that's awesome because, again, it gives you another freedom. And, you know, what's the fallout for something that happens in this match between maybe Shogun and someone who might want to make sure Duke stays champion? You know, there's so much to play with that it's cool, man. Like,
yeah. And again, that card was so stacked, I had Kevin Koa in a pre-show match.
Yes. And Kevin is another guy who, you know, you look at how far he's come and how, you know, good he looks in terms of, you know, everything that he's been doing. It's mind blowing.
If we had baseball stats, you know, most improved player, I think Koa would be that guy. I think he's the guy that, at best, I looked at him as a utility guy, a plug-and-play kind of guy. And being with MK, but because he – and again, I have to credit that his attitude is fantastic. He is the guy who shows up regardless of the situation. Like I said, you know, here's a guy coming from Arizona. He's got to drive up for 5 or 6 hours. He wasn't booked on this show, but his compatriots were going to be there, so he decided to join them at the show. Well, I'm like, well, I'm going to do a pre-show match. Why wouldn't I have a major player on the match, on the pre-show? Which is also good for Adrian Rain. It gave JKM another opportunity, some experience, you know, working. Because, you know, usually an Adrian Rain, JKM, they're kind of in that no limits division. And they're going to wrestle some of the faster pace, smaller guys. And now they're working a heavyweight. So it's all about opportunities. And now we got the opportunity. And, you know, wow. Now you get there early. You got a solid ninth match on the show. And there's so much going on. So it's like we have the 27th card, the 18th, you know. We know what we're looking at. You know, Transcendence will be there. You know, who will they defend the title? Haven't figured that part out yet. You know, maybe the Pole Boys get a title shot. You know, people like Jimmy Jack. You know, it's whose availabilities and things like that. Like, I know Pretty City Express won't be at the 18th show, but they'll be at the 30th show. And we haven't announced it yet, but we'll announce it now. Mariachis and Suavecitos on the 27th. They are going to be in, it hasn't been announced, so that's a tag team grudge match, but it's going to be a tornado tag. So all four guys are going to be in the ring at the same time. Nice. It's like between those guys, you can't keep them away from all being in the ring anyway, so fuck it. You know. There you go. Now all four of you can be going at each other's throats. You know, would have did it on Mexican Independence Day, but we didn't run a show that day. So this is a belated Mexican Independence Day show match. It was either that or a pinata on a pole.
I was just going to say, if he would have pulled out the old pinata on a pole.
Yeah, you know. So who knows? And I can guarantee you the winner of that match will definitely be in line soon enough for a tag title match.
Yeah.
Because luck of the draw features a 30-man rumble. The winner wrestles the champion in the main event. We now know Killer Cross will not be in the rumble. He will have a standalone match. So Cross returns home once again. And hopefully this is you know, part of a semi-regular occurrence. So,
sure,
you know, I'm pretty sure the current champ Sharp's breathing a sigh of relief that that Kevin is not in the Rumble. That's one less person he has to worry about. But we already know that Ice Williams, Shogun, Hammerstone,
right,
Graves, Remy Marcel, and there's one more. I've been talking about it all week. I can't remember who the other FSW heavyweight champion that will be in the Rumble. There's six in the Rumble, and there's Cross. So there's seven former FSW heavyweight champions already booked on the show. Hammerstone, Graves, Shogun, Ice, Remy. Who am I missing? Unless it's the five and then Kevin was the sixth, maybe, I think, possibly.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, I can't figure it out. That's so weird.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Well, whoever that is going to have something to prove to show you. You'll never forget my name again.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, we're excited about everything moving forward. November 23rd, we're planning on moving up because of WrestleMania in April. No Escape, going back to like the beginning of February, the week of the in between the championship game and the Super Bowl.
Right.
So obviously that's Royal Rumble weekend, but I'm pretty sure the Rumble is going to be a one-day event. And I'm pretty sure it is on the Saturday. So now that we, since we do the Sunday, we can now run, because in the past it used to be on Sunday and we couldn't run against it.
So I'm going to break it to you. I believe, didn't they announce the Rumble's 2 days?
Is it?
Yeah. Pretty sure.
I thought it was going to be in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
As confirmed.
That's right.
January 31st. So let's see. Is January 31st. Sorry. Is, well, it Saturday? Way. There you go.
Right. And it would start early. It should start earlier on anyway.
Right. But the good news is we would be Friday, Sunday, February 1st. Yeah. So that's what we're looking at for No Escape, which also opens up the possibility of adding that one extra casino show. Because we kind of have that similar schedule where we had moved No Escape till late February, early March, anniversary show in June, luck of the draw, Survival of the Fittest, has always been August, and Luck of the Draw in November. But when we did Luck of the Draw in November and used to do No Escape in January, it was 2 months. But now it was because we had issues with the venue at the time and we didn't get a date till mid-March the year before. So now we're December, January. We were 4 months in between. So we prefer to do a fifth show, which right now we're looking at as March will be the Mecca, which is when we used to do it when Ring of Honor was in town the Friday and Saturday, and we would do that on the Sunday.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So, you know, we're scheduling literally a year in advance almost.
Yeah. Well, you kind of walk it back from, you know, what's going on because of WrestleMania, and just kind of figure those out now, because, you know, it's, as you know, it's going to come up close on, you know, quicker than you think.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You know, and then we got so much stuff going on. We got October 8th or 11th. We got the breaking tournament. like the 7th, 8th, and 9th, we're going to be on Fremont Street doing the, you know, having guys doing the ring stuff for WOW Wrestling because they're doing some shows on Fremont. And then we got the Made Fight League, which is that the boxing type entertainment show on the 31st for Halloween. Yep. We're doing our Halloween show the 30th. We have another women's wrestling show November 8th, the Matriarchs of Wrestling. We got people hitting me up. We got the Mania Week stuff going on. It's like, man, the docket is full. There you go. There is the, you know, just so people know, Shabadoo and crew will not be there for the break dancing tournament. This is the other breaking.
So it's not the Electric Boogaloo, huh?
Not the Electric Boogaloo, no. A couple of people were thought it might be, but, you know. But no, it's breaking boards and breaking concrete and all that kind of stuff, you know. As seen on ESPN The Ocho, you know.
Yes, which is awesome. Did you ever think you'd have an Ocho event in your...
Yeah, but I figured it would be cornhole. which has actually probably been upgraded to like ESPN 1. You know?
Right, yeah. you know, you talked a little bit about him. G-Sharp, you assumed G-Sharp's going to be champion going into the event of All In, Luck of the Draw.
Well, that's why I said whoever the champ is, because, you know, Jacob Austin Young could be taking that title to Japan.
Your words exactly were, boy, G-Sharp must be breathing a sigh of relief that Cross isn't in that battle royal.
Well, right now he's not going to think he's going to lose the belt.
you know, again, I'm just all behind that idea of Jake taking that belt over to Japan and showing up on, you know, shows with the FSW belt, man.
Well, I got a bone to pick with Sharp. You know, he is the world fighter. So why hasn't he defended the FSW championship in Ethiopia, in Saigon? You know, like, you name a country that you wouldn't believe, you know, a local wrestler would work in. And Sharp probably worked there, you know, which is crazy. So it's like, I got to hit him up. Like, you know, you're going to be out of the country anytime soon because you needed to start defending that belt out there and then become the world fighter would be the world champion.
Yeah. Yeah. And
even in Canada, wouldn't that make it a world title, right?
Right.
Can I get anybody to defend the belt in Canada? Vancouver? It's right there.
You know, I'm sure. Well, listen, you know, you got a couple people who...
Mexico? Greg was just there a week and a half ago.
Listen, would you just take... like the belt just going with them and being on a table while they're, you know, drinking a beer and taking some pictures.
You know, my biggest fear is him bringing a belt overseas and then getting stuck there. Right. Like, he had his phone. Somebody like precisionly stole his phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine what they want to do with the belt.
Yeah, well, they'll hold it hostage and make you pay a ransom to get the belt back.
I know. And it'll probably cost more than the actual belt costs.
Right.
You know, maybe Sin Bodhi can make like a 3D version of plastic, you know.
Hey, now you're onto something. Sell those at the events. Have the fans carry the plastic replicas, man. I'm sure
kids right. Everybody's those. You all can be a champion too.
Is it, you can make those for the kids' classes?
Yeah, we could have the kids' class championship. You know, there's been a lot of talk. People want to see a Future Shock champion.
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
You know, that'd be a nice little tournament.
Yeah.
You know, whoever sells the most tickets wins. It's like a raffle.
A raffle. Oh yeah, and just keep it under wraps until the only thing they would know is who the top two or three, depending on how you made that last match.
Yeah, unfortunately, a guy who's been doing it for 15 years, Dave Mizani, would have to be in the championship match.
Well, Dave deserves a title, and I think
Dave got a win. Forgot about that six-man tag right there. The young prodigy, yeah. Bodie, Jaden Cole. You know, yeah. Jaden Cole, that was his first victory. He didn't get the pin, but his team won the match.
Right. Right. And once again, man, how valuable are guys like Brandon and Ricky, man?
I'll tell you what. You know who's really been impressive? Because, again, don't use him all the time. And, you know, he started with us, went to China, didn't last there long, couldn't deal with it, came back, went to the Hoovy seminar, broke his collarbone, disappeared for a couple of years. Andrew Delgado and Dave Mizani is now a match I would want to see.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, we've seen some hard-hitting matches with Andy in the past. But taking on a legit MMA fighter who's held world championships in South Africa, like that might be a cool match to have for Mr. Delgado.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, again, in seeing his progression and, you know, the biggest thing is the maturity. You look at him now and what he's been able to do with his character is really just kind of, you know, evolve him as a wrestler. He's a great wrestler, but now he's someone you want to see, you want to watch, you want to see what this character is going to do.
You know, he reminds me of those early days watching the Ryan Taylor's, the Thomas Day. Just, the miscalculation, oh, yeah, Joe, he does like these high flyers. Yeah, I do. I dig that. You know, I like watching JKM go in there and do some cool shit. But I also like watching when you see a guy like Eli Everfly, and I've talked about it a million times. Like, man, he does some of the craziest stuff, some of the coolest stuff. But he also does some of the badass shit where it was like when he wrestled Jacob Austin Young, go look at that match where it was more mat based and the transitions and just the things that are like, wow, this is so smooth and enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that's why I had Eli Everfly and TJP in a Natural Born Killers match.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. You know, I can have a three-hour conversation right here just talking about what we're trying to do with Cross. And now that his availability has come up, you know, I'm pitching the Natural Born Killers return. And, you know, because of the AAA thing, TJP was around because Jacob Austin Young, he's the guy who got Jacob Austin Young into New Japan.
Right.
You know, and he jokingly said, I basically got my replacement hired because I brought in Jake to New Japan and all of a sudden I stopped getting booked there.
Right.
And, you know, we had a nice conversation that, you know, maybe TJP gets to be on some shows again sometime real soon. And I've always said about TJ, and it's not a knock. There's no knock about it. TJP's not a guy that it's like, oh my God, TJP's on the show. I'm going to buy tickets. At the end of the day, when you watch the match and you say, hey, what was the best match on the show? Oh, that TJP match was the best match on the show. He's that guy who kind of flies under the radar, but one of the smoothest motherfuckers you're going to see in the ring. And anytime he's available to train, like, hey, I'm back from Japan. If you need me, Joe, let me know. And it's like, my goodness, man, we have so many of these guys that are around like with now Bateman being here, hey, we got him every second Monday. And now Chris Bay's back in the mix and he's every other Monday. Oh, Kenny couldn't make it last Wednesday, so Chris covered for him. Or Sin couldn't make it last week. And Sin's been bringing Rip Rogers, who now lives in town around, who, for people who don't know, he was the main guy at OVW training Batista and Orton and fucking Cena and shit like that. So yep. It's like, man, you have the greatest opportunity if you live in Vegas and you want to learn how to be a wrestler by coming to FSW, because you have no idea who's going to show up. Monday, Chris has a class on Monday, and he does one early. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, there's Layla Gray from AEW. You got Darius from Top Flight because he lives in town. And there's all these people like, oh, shit. Oh, this person's in town, and that person lives here. And blah, blah. And you're in the ring not only with top-notch wrestlers who are running classes, but the people that are in the ring. So, you know, when AJ or Fox and they're training on Monday, they're getting to train with people that can give them advice, because these are young wrestlers that their goal is someday to be in an AEW, a WWE, an NXT, a TNA, whatever it is. And this guy can say, hey, you know, this is how my journey started. I know for a fact because I got an email 5 years ago that I noticed from Darius from Top Flight before I met him. And he trained at Daivari School with Mr. Kennedy and Sean Daivari. So, of course, hey, you're going to be in Vegas, reach out to Joe DeFalco because, you know, he's a cool dude. When I was in Vegas, I helped train over there. And I still talk to Sean, who's awesome. And his brother Ari now lives out here. And he'll be training with an Oasis all the time. Like, they were here yesterday. You know, so you have no idea how many of these people. And then, hey, Katie Forbes needs the ring. And guess who's going to show up with Katie? Well, Rob Van Dam's there. And then you got to hope kids don't mark out. Oh, my God, it's RVD, you know. And all these people, Sabu would be in there rolling around, you know, when he was with Genie and working on, like I said, the crazy chair spots. Yeah. Like, guy legitimately practiced them on his own time. And it was like, I sure wish we had, like, cameras 24/7, you know, inside the arena. Plus, I know the people who snuck in when they had the keys back in the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but it's just a who's who of the professional wrestling world that is here in Vegas. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's incredible because more people keep coming to Vegas, moving here, and you know.
Yeah, Brian Cage is the one who put the first feeler out for Jimmy House.
Yeah.
And I actually, that's how I met Jimmy House, when Brian Cage wanted to use the facility, because he comes in and trains.
Yeah.
You know, and before she got hurt, you know, Zoe Stark, Lacey Ryan, she moved back to Vegas. So I'd see Lacey, I see Tom, and I seen their little Siberian Husky that they would bring in. Great dog.
Yeah. Which is great. I mean, you know, and, the new AAA champion has been in
there. There you go. Yeah. He's been in there rolling around with his estranged dad being in at the facility too. At times, Rey Mysterio working with Disco Inferno.
Yeah.
And Ricochet had to be cleared. He had to be cleared for concussion protocol. So he had to go in there with Brian Cage and roll around a little, which was hilarious to me. So it's like, so you're 3,000 miles away from Florida. So you go in the ring and you say, hey, I did all my stuff. Oh, how do you feel? Oh, I feel good. And that was the judge that, okay, he was cleared. But, hey, it is what it is.
Well, thank God the protocol is top standards.
But what are you going to do? Get him on a plane in a concussion protocol to fly him all the way to Florida to see?
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
But, yeah, so it's like, man, you can walk in any single day. Like, after class Monday of Chris's, Chris ran the regular class. and Darius from Top Flight was hanging out with all the regular younger students. So it's like, hey, you know, it's a great opportunity to be there. And we've had some new students who've come in and you know, we know that ratio of new students coming back the next month. So, you know, hopefully we can keep a core base, you know. We've got a couple of new youngsters that seemingly have great potential, and hopefully they'll be around a bit.
And that's the coolest thing, you know, is that potential. And, you know, again, you know, you get options, but the biggest thing is the fans get, you know, all this great talent at one of the best points they could be, because we haven't seen this kind of popularity in 25 years.
Yeah. And like October 4th, and we're talking about that. That's the next Future Shock. And this is where the Adrian Reigns of the world and the greatness and tenacious with Brandon G's and the Jaden Coles and the C4s, that this is their opportunity to shine. And when they shine there, and the Demirs and the Davions, because their goal is to get on a casino show. But you can't get on a casino show till you get on a Collision Course, a Moment of Truth, one of our bigger FSW arena shows. Yeah. And Demir Morningstar gets that opportunity to wrestle Ice Williams. But he ain't getting that opportunity to wrestle Ice Williams unless he's doing something that stands out on Future Shock. Because you got to earn the next level from Future Shock, which is those shows.
Yeah, right. And that's, you know, again, it's and how, and again, I know that you are, you know, you've been saying it, but how impressed are you at the fact that this, you know, this buzz, and let's be honest, from the Bay Benefit show to now, it seems like that momentum has just never died down, which the fans just keep coming out. And it's such an encouraging thing to see, because I don't think, you know, the fans even realize how important it is to give these guys the opportunity to have that interaction with fans and feed off of that. And, you know, it's totally different than performing in front of, say, you know, 50 people when you're performing in front of 150 people.
And yeah, there's also the big difference of wrestling at Future Shock, where there's a good chance, like the Jaden Coles and C4s, and they sell tickets and
right.
They're wrestling in front of a wrestling crowd that doesn't really know wrestling. They're there to support the family and friends. So that becomes a totally different crowd. So the Future Shock crowd with the family and friends, which is 90% of the crowd, and you got your regulars. So they see a hip toss or a suplex, and they're like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing they've ever seen, because they're not expecting that. So that's your introduction. So you're going to get your family and friends like, oh my God, I can't believe you can do a flip. Well, you know, that's common stuff in regular wrestling, but because most of them may not know wrestling, or they watch some WWE and they're like, oh my God, that's really cool that you can do that. So it becomes totally different. Then now when you wrestle in front of the crowd at Collision Course or whatever show we're doing, that's a regular show that has the Jacob Austin Youngs, the Batemans, Jay Vidals. It's like, oh shit, man, these are like real deal. You know, Jay Vidal was in TNA. Bateman was in fucking Ring of Honor. Jacob Austin Young's in New Japan. Gregory Sharp was in New Japan Strong. You know, yep. Oh, Matt Vandergriff, he's on New Japan Strong. You know, it's a pretty loaded card of people. So now when you're introducing yourself into it, and Jaden Cole's wrestling with Bodie, who's been on GCW and WWE ID shows and stuff like that, now you're stepping up into higher ground. And, right. you know, those mistakes that you might make on Future Shock, you can't continually make them on that type of show because I can't use you because it becomes 20 of the best guys that I can use on a show.
Right.
Compared to Future Shock, where it's like, yeah, let's see what he can do. He's done some good things in training. He's had some good practice matches. So it's a total polar opposite of what you're doing. And then, of course, when you do get him on a casino show, in most cases, you'll see those younger guys. They'll be in the Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal. They'll be in a Rumble where they're able to work certain spots, but they don't have to worry about a 12-minute match or a 9-minute match. But again, if you're working a casino show, odds are you're involved in a storyline and you're not really getting that when we're just trying to get your feet wet and see what it's like to work in front of a crowd. You know, it's great to do a practice match at the school during training, but when you fuck it up, you stop and you do it again.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do that when you're wrestling in front of a crowd. You have to go through that. And we've seen, you know, some really bad, oh, they shit the bed. Yeah. Oh, that's why you try to not put the two greenest guys in the ring together, because it's they couldn't put together a match and do a 5 or 6 minute match that goes well. But odds are it's not going to go well. Odds are there's going to be mistakes happening, and it's easier if Jaden Cole wrestled G-Sharp or wrestled Watson, that when he did make the mistake, he had that veteran presence who was able to put it all back together.
Right.
And that's what we try to do on Future Shock, is incorporate some of the more patient, because not everybody's patient. There's people that you don't want working with the younger guys because, you know, when things don't work out well, they may not react the way you need them to react.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that eventually leads you to tag team grudge matches and championship opportunities, and of course, you know, possibly international championship opportunities here.
Right. And it's like, you know, here's that right there is the perfect example. You have two guys that started with us at the Boulder Highway School that we were out of Boulder Highway by 2012-13, the latest. And Gregory Sharp and Jacob Austin Young in 2016, 2019, 2021, they were still grinding, and they were just working indie shows, and they had never gotten to where their dream was. And as Jake said, it was New Japan. And it took him till last year.
Yeah.
How many people at 19 are now in their early 30s would have given up that dream? And Gregory Sharp, you know, he's the guy who wrestled the New Japan Strong shows and all those guys. So did Jake. And it was like those guys, sky's the limit. And then because of the success wasn't there for the New Japan Strong monthly shows, just when those guys got their foot in the door, it was taken away. Because they started using the New Japan guys, but they also did it once every 3 or 4 months. So the lower end guys who just got their foot in the door now was foot out the door again. So, you know, and they got it taken away. No different than the Ice and the Oasis with the ID program. You got to see them on Evolve and you got to see them on television. Like, oh shit, like that. To be like, oh, shit, I got to start all over again. You know, I got the knowledge now. Now, am I able to take the knowledge I got from being there for almost a year into the WWE program and being invited to go down to the Performance Center and train with the superstar trainers that they have and just seeing how the system works? because, you know, guys like Ice, guys like Cartwheel, all the ID guys, they were now, instead of working also the AEW Darks, AEW chose not to use any of those WWE ID guys. Why give them the platform? So right. Now it's like, okay, is that bridge burned for an Ice Williams and Oasis? Now that they're not part of the ID, are they going to be like, yeah, we're good?
Yeah.
So now it's like, okay, now you got to restart the grind. You got to prove yourself. You got to make yourself larger than life and make yourself valuable to them to where they say, you know what, who cares? We like you and we want to use you. What is it going to take?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a tough road. It's not an easy road. And you have to put in the time. You got to put in the effort. And most importantly, you got to put in the work.
Right. And then you could become like this guy and come back home for luck of the draw.
There you go. Comes back home, you know, pays, you know, his pay is way more than, you know, when we humbly trained him for a very small rate. But, you know.
Could you imagine you could have three Kevin Crosses wrestling for the price of one Kevin Cross now? You know?
Three. I think
five. We're
10 for the highest amount that I paid him back in the day. Yeah. I can have 10 really good indie wrestlers. Easy. Probably more. I could book like Che and Tito, even Hammerstone. And yeah, it's insane.
Wow.
But I'll tell you what, you know, the show's in over 2 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, a third of the front row is already sold out.
There you go.
And that's not even putting it out there. That's just mentioning it on the fan page and people reaching out. You know, the people who maybe don't come very often to the school shows, you know, I need five. I need five. Another guy, I need four. And I've been getting sent money and the VIP packages and the meet and greets. And, you know... And the thing is, Kevin understands his value. So, yeah, obviously I'm going to get a deal, but it's still, you know, costly. And the thing is, not many people. I was having a discussion in the school yesterday and talking about, you know, pay and, you know, talking about a Cardona and with Mustafa Ali and all these guys. And sometimes you're like, there's no value to paying a certain guy X amount of dollars because, in my opinion, I'm not going to get that back. Because it isn't how many people are coming to the show. Yeah, 500 people come to the show and you could pay a guy $5,000. Is it worth it? I guess. But if they didn't come because of that guy, then it's not worth it.
Right.
You know, what's worth it is if I've sold X amount of tickets, and then I announce a guy that costs $5,000. I now need, let's see, 200 tickets to cover that guy. And if 27 more people bought tickets after that announcement, that would mean that most of these people were coming to the show anyway. So whether or not that guy was on the show, but Kevin Cross moves tickets, especially in Vegas. Yeah. So to me, Kevin Cross is more valuable than, say, Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler's awesome. But is Dolph Ziggler going to bring the numbers that Cross is going to bring, or a Mustafa Ali, or a Matt Cardona? And, you know, these are the higher end indie guys now that are ex WWE guys that are all going to command, you know, thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. I think Matt Cardona has not been saturated to where I believe a Matt Cardona Killer Cross match in Vegas is a big sell.
Right.
So I don't know if it's necessary, but again, we're in talks. I talked to Kevin today, and we have some big name guys that are possibilities, but we also have not so big names, but they're independent guys, people who've wrestled for us, and names that we've thrown out there that would be interesting matches. You know, I think Tito Escondido versus Killer Cross is a cool match to have in Vegas.
Yeah.
You sure. know, if Tom Lawler wasn't banged up, I'd love to do Tom Lawler versus yeah. Killer Cross. But Tom's banged up. He's supposed to get hip replacement. So I'm actually yeah. going to hit him up and see if he wants to do commentary for the Luck of the Draw.
Oh, yeah. You know,
we've had him do the early Meccas. He did one with me and Austin Aries that was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, Aries is another guy. Hey, that's got a lot of appeal. You know, there's Austin Aries versus Cross. They have a lot of things. Hey, a Moose and Killer Cross is, you know, in my head, like, what are the matches? You know, right. obviously, you know, but I saw it. He attacked him at the GCW, and that was my idea, was always Cross and Cardona. When we were talking right. about doing the show at the Showboat in New Jersey a few years ago, and yeah. Kevin was released, I felt, number one, we had to have Kevin on the show, because who's coming to an FSW show in New Jersey? You know, no yeah. offense to our regulars, but nobody knows who they are. We would need the GCW backing of FSW for FSW to right. kind of work together. And what better way in Jersey than to do Cardona versus Cross? Right. So that's been on my back burner since, you know, 2022.
Right. Sure.
For it to happen. And it's like, okay, you know, who on the West Coast? You know, we love Hammerstone, and, you know, he's going to be there. But we've seen that match, and we just saw it in March, that nobody ever thought they would ever see it again. You know, that story is long closed, Hammerstone yeah. and Cross.
Well, you know, one match that we haven't seen that would be two former FSW champions going against each other would be Cross versus Matt Hardy.
Yeah, I did reach out to Matt Hardy. We did see Cross versus Matt Hardy in a steel cage for the right. interim championship at the Silverton. It was not a great match. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
I pulled out of the UFC because Kevin couldn't make the show. We did an angle where PJ Black, of all people, kidnapped Kevin Cross. It turned out, because we thought we were going to set something up there, that never ended up working because PJ was in town. And so, yeah, I did reach out to Matt saying, hey, blah, 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 even Mania weekend, we got some things happening. So haven't heard back. It was only yesterday that I messaged him. But it's like, hey, love to get you back out here. You know, I think that's a marquee match. You know, I personally would love to see the Hardys.
Right.
We had Matt a lot of times. We never had Jeff. So, right. but for November 23rd, I don't think we need the Hardys. I think that would be for something down the road. And I know Matt's not big on anymore because now he has more kids and leaving to go to the West Coast. And, you know, I know a guy in Portland that was trying to book him, and it was a show in Washington, and there was no red eyes back because he wants to be back by the next morning.
Right.
We know that's not a problem in Vegas. You know, I was pitching, you know, Dollar Loan Center when we're talking about doing the show there, the Hardys versus the Dudleys one last time, you know, and they're
and everyone else is running your matches, Joe.
I know. And then all of a sudden, yeah, I talked to Devon, and it was funny that their price was three times the price if I wanted him for singles matches.
Right.
Which was kind of crazy but it was, they understand the nostalgia, and the nostalgia of the Dudleys together, which is yeah. a rare occurrence on an indie show, means a lot more than Devon Dudley wrestling the local champion. So So they have peak. It's like Uber. It's peak pricing time when you, right. when you want to put the Dudleys together.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to make moves. I'm always talking. I'm always hitting people up, trying to figure out what we can do.
Yep. That's it. That's the fun thing. Yeah. And again, the next one is Collision Chorus coming up on Saturday, September 27th at 7 p.m. at the FSW Arena. Final thoughts, Joe, before we wrap up?
Yeah, you know, right now everything, we're clicking on all cylinders, great crowd, great shows, you know, a lot of great talent, you know, support some of these younger guys, you know, hope to see another packed house on the 27th. You know, if we can pack the house on the last show when WWE AAA is in town, you know, this is going to be another, you know, you say it, it's an A-list show. It's an A show, you know, and that normally doesn't always happen at a school show. But some of these cards, if they were at the casino, it would be like, oh, wow, this is a great card. This is a great card. And, you know, go look on Facebook. You can see a lot of people like, oh, shit, this is a really good card. Oh, that's a great match. Oh, you know, there's marquee matches wherever you go on this show, next show, the show after. You know, October 18th is the Day of Reckoning, which is setting up for the Halloween show, which is setting up for Luck of the Draw. And like I said, you know, it's going to be nice to have some, you know, Killer Cross returns, Graves returns, Hammerstone returns. You know, there's going to be more surprises. There's going to be more announcements. And it's like, you know, sky's the limit. Hey, who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe Darius from Top Flight's a Luck of the Draw member. Maybe a guy you haven't seen in 3 years in FSW that you used to like. Like, hey, where's he been? Maybe he shows up at Luck of the Draw. So, right. You know. We're talking with everybody. Nobody's off the board. They, you know, unless they, you know, are off the board because they're fucking idiots and they're no longer welcome in the business. But if you're welcome in the business and you work for FSW, you know, I try to hold no grudges. I've given many people many opportunities. And, you know, we want to have the best shows. We want to have, you know, we want to do it for the fans.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the bottom line right there is the fans and how important it is. So, again, you can support FSW by coming on out and catching the show. And maybe you'll see the rise of a new FSW champion before he heads back to Japan.
Never know.
It'd be fun.
Three titles on the line on the 27th.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. With that said, until next time, everybody, happy wrestling.